Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today, and if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week's article coming up, in the edition coming up straight ahead on Sunday. It comes every Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. This week's article is titled "The New Field of Dreams Strategy." So I mentioned that just a little bit in the previous half hour. But I think you're going to enjoy that article, and if you haven't subscribed yet, if you subscribe this week, you'll have an opportunity to get that first edition with that article in it. George Hill, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. George is a new friend. He's Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Office Depot, and as you know, in the interest of full disclosure, Office Depot is one of our outstanding corporate partners, and they're one of the folks who help us do what we do that helps you, and we sure do appreciate them. And let me introduce you to him right now. George Hill, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. Now, tell the audience where you are.
Actually, right now, I'm in our new 1,000-store location in Countryside, Illinois.
The 1,000th Office Depot retail store.
Yeah, if you can believe that. That's
let's get a little. We need to get a little bit of an ovation for that.
Well, thank you very much.
Congratulations, George. 1,000 stores. Now, you know, I worked for Sears many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and let's put emphasis on the many, many. and you know, I remember working for a retail organization like that, and I remember how big a deal it was to have those kinds of milestones in your organization, and talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, look, I think it just kind of shows the culmination and commitment to our growth and to our vision of the future. It, you know, we started this company 18 years ago, obviously with a store in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and here we are 18 short years later, and we're opening a 1,000th store in Countryside, Illinois.
Now, where is Countryside relative to the city?
It would just be south of the city, just okay. I would say 20 miles south by Joliet.
I got you. How many different? You got a pretty large presence in Chicago, haven't you?
Yes, we do. We've got 42 stores in Chicago.
Wow.
And by the way, all of them will be celebrating the 1,000th store, really across the company. That's probably when you asked about the milestone. This is mm-hmm. something that, as a company, we can get excited about and rally behind, you know, as a very powerful marketing message and a very powerful motivational message for our employees.
Well, that's the thing. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, George, is I mean, obviously, we're very proud of you and the company for this milestone, but and it is a big deal. But there are opportunities inside of a milestone like that, and that all of us, all companies, can take advantage of, aren't there? There's public relations opportunities.
Absolutely.
You mentioned motivational opportunities, getting your employees behind that kind of excitement. Talk to us about some of the things that you think a company benefits from when they sort of make a big deal out of a milestone like this.
I think what happens, I really do think what happens, Jim, is that they, all of a sudden you see dreams come to fruition. I think that, you know, people that normally don't get involved in the day-to-day business, I'm talking about this day-to-day store operations business, now become very motivated and figure out that there's so much we can do inside the community. You know, when we do business, you know, in all of our communities across the country, we tend to think about our business as silos, even in our corporate offices. This is a rallying point for the company to understand the accomplishment we've created and now lived up to. And it gives a chance for everybody to be involved again. I mean, be involved with the customer, be involved with the stores.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking of small businesses out there, George, that you guys do business with. They come in your doors every day, and somebody, one of your customers today or next week, let's say, is going to open up a second branch. Mm-hmm. They've had their home office, they've had their main business, their main location for for a year or for 40 years, and they've decided to move across town or across county or across state and open up a second branch, and it's just one branch. It's not their 1,000th installation. It's just their second installation. But they ought to take an opportunity to kind of make a big deal out of that with the public, with their customers, and with their employees, shouldn't they?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. Dead on right. And because really what you've done is you've grown your business, and you should be proud of growing that business to serve your customer. You know, and when you can make things more convenient for our customers or for their customers, you should celebrate that and make sure everyone clearly knows that. Mm-hmm. Often the best stories are not told, you know, that they're learned when people walk into our stores, and we have to go out there and tell them. And really, I heard you talking earlier this morning about the build it and they will come, and that really is a flawed strategy, and that's changed in retail over years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you really have to be proud of your accomplishment and make sure people know about your accomplishment.
George, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're visiting with George Hill, Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Office Depot. When we come back, I'm going to ask George to continue that thought. How has retail changed over the last 10 years or so? He can tell us. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great busy with our friend George Hill, Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Office Depot. George, a few minutes ago, before we took the break, you mentioned, I've said something about you being in retail for a long time, and as you know, many years ago, I was for a number of years, and loved it. I really enjoyed being in the retail business and dealing with the folks, the customers every day, like you guys do. But what I'd like to do is take a moment and talk to our audience who are still in retail, and give them some perspective on how you think retail has changed over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Well, you know, I would start out, I've been in retail a little over 20 years now, excuse me, and it really has changed. And technology has changed a lot of that. Obviously, the internet has changed retail significantly. It really has. It really was about build it and they will come. In the early 80s, when I broke into retail, it really talked about build it and they will come. You know, a unique idea. Everything seemed to be brand new. There was a lot of cutting-edge stuff, a lot of company startups, whether they're the Home Depots of the world, the Lowe's of the world, Walmart. You know, it really took on fire, and it really was about populating the country with boxes.
It wasn't all that hard to wow customers in those days, was it?
Exactly. There was no expectation of service. There was no expectation of price. You know, we were going from the discounters of the ones that have gone by to really the powerful retailers you see out there today. But today, that's not, you know, coming to market today, you better have an awesome marketing plan. You better have exceptionally trained employees. Location is still obviously very important, but you need to have a differentiator. There really needs to be something unique that you can call your own, that you can put your hands on and say, we are a different business, and the compelling reason to shop our store is this.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, let's talk a little bit about some specifics, some physical things that you can do, and you guys will use your M2 design as an example. You have a new store design that you call M2. Sounds like a new race car, or maybe a British intelligence agency. I'm not sure, but tell us about M2 and why you guys think that's important.
Well, you know, for us, the M2 design that we use today, and you would see it in our countryside location, and really all stores going forward. It's unique because it really is built for the future. It really is, we believe it is built along a methodology that talks about what's going to take us into the millennium. And that's really how it came about, was the M was really about millennium. It started back a couple years ago, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And it has been evolving ever since. But unique things are about different colors. People's color palettes have changed. It's not the bright orange or the red. And it really does differentiate ourselves with that. It's about lower sight lines across a store, which enhances our customers' ability to locate employees and our employees' ability to locate customers and really service them.
Did you ask your customers what they thought about these things before you did it?
Absolutely.
And you did the research, didn't you?
We did a significant amount of research. I'm talking about an unbelievable amount of research, and we continue to do it. We do interviews. We do, you know, with every new store that we do, we'll be talking to customers. Today, it's part of what I do for a living. But we do have a whole strategic marketing team that follows up and continually asks and challenges customers to say, what can we do better? What would you like to see in our stores? What would you like to see in our stores? And that constant interaction with the customers is precious to us.
Would you recommend to small business owners that if they're thinking about changing the paint scheme, the wall paint or their signage or whatever they might be doing, do you think it's a good idea to, when customers come in, to show them an example and say, what do you think about this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the voice of the customer is the one that's the most important. I'll tell you, Jim, what hasn't changed in retail over the last 20 years is the importance of the customer. Formats have changed, colors have changed, you know, different types of products have changed. The customer hasn't changed.
You mentioned the technology and the internet a little bit earlier. How has the internet changed the way in-store retail works these days?
Well, the internet has changed because people are just much sharper when they walk into your store, and it's more convenient for them. I mean, we've always known that retail has been a convenience play in the boxes and in the brick-and-mortar piece. And really now the internet has become an extension of our business. I think when the internet was first being introduced, there was a lot of panic about, will it cannibalize your store and will it hurt your shopping experience and will it take away from the overall? And that's just not true. It's really enhanced the vision of the store.
So what would you say to the folks out there? They've been in business a long time. You know, mom and pop started it, and the kids talked them into building a website, and now they're wanting to go to an e-commerce, to the e-commerce level where people can actually buy things from them. But you know, the folks who started the company are resisting because they're saying, you know, you're going to take away from our core business, from our retail operation. What do you say to people like that?
I think that that's probably naive, you know, and I don't want to be insulting when I say that. I think what's important to understand is an extension of your business. It will certainly not hurt your business.
It supports your business, doesn't it? And especially if you do it the right way, and you guys have proven that because, I mean, for example, Office Depot, you've got your 1,000th store opening up, but at the same time, while you're growing your retail, you guys are the third largest online retailer in the world?
That's exactly right. We're the third biggest.
Think about that. Think about what would have happened a few years ago if somebody in your organization had said, you know what, we don't want to go online too much because we don't want to take away from our store operation. What you guys said to me, what I think you said, and what more and more small business owners are learning, it's not either or, it's both and. When we come back, folks, I'm gonna ask George about how community outreach is important to their organization and how it could be important to your organization. And that's right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with George Hill. He's Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Office Depot.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician out the wheel.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, George Hill, Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Office Depot. Go ahead and give us that website, George.
Actually, it's www.officedepot.com, and you had mentioned Tech Depot before, so it'll get you to any link you want in the store to learn a bunch of things about our unique products that we carry.
Check it out, folks, as you know. And by the way, you can actually find me on their website, too. So that'd be one good reason to go.
That's a great reason.
Hey, George, one of the things that happens when I interview the most successful small business owners in the country, and I do that all the time through the SBA recognizes some of the top people in the country every year, and I interview most of them sometime during the year on my show. And one of the things that almost 100% of the time happens is that without me asking them, without having to coax them at all, they talk about how their company gives back to the community in a lot of different ways. And I see that as a common success thread for small businesses. And And I know that Office Depot does an awful lot of community outreach. You guys have your backpack program every summer for underprivileged children all over the country and a lot of different things. Talk to us about why you guys think that that's important.
Well, quite frankly, you know, the dealing with customers and dealing with communities go hand in hand. We don't just open up stores and try and run them from some computer in Delray. We deal with inside the communities of our stores. And they never can you ever have or be naive enough for any business to think that their customers stop at the four walls of their stores or stop at the entrance of the store. It goes right into the community. And giving back, whether it's a local chamber being a member of that, if it's on a very small scale, or doing what we do, which we'll donate over $125,000 worth of products and services and cash today, just at our 1,000 stores.
That's in conjunction with the launch of your 1,000 store.
That's exactly right.
Right.
But it goes beyond that. It's not just about the 1,000 store, but it really is important to understand that people buy products from people. You know, and so as you deal with people in the community, you really figure out you drive a customer base, and again, it's one more compelling reason to shop. I also would view it, Jim, as a responsibility for any company to be involved in that community.
It's not only the right thing to do. It's not only good business. It's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How could you go about business every day and not be vehemently involved with the local community in which you serve?
Well, and well said, George. And the thing that I think is interesting, though, about what you're doing today is that you're coordinating the launch, the business angle of your business with community outreach. You pull both of those together, and I think that's a great strategy for small businesses to think about doing. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, at some point, you want to make sure that you're touching and reaching every customer segmentation you have or whatever segment you actually serve.
Well, and the other thing about that is it's a great way to get PR, isn't it? I mean, if you can coordinate that kind of community activity with your business activity, the press will give you ink, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they often look for stories like this to balance the newscast of the day or what have you, and it really is inexpensive and it is a feel good. Quite frankly, it's an awesome feel good.
Well, let's change the subject completely and talk about NASCAR.
Okay.
Now, what's going on? What's the news with your NASCAR sponsorship? Because we got a winner, don't we? Because we announced the program where we gave our audience the opportunity to participate and to become possibly become a winner of your NASCAR contest. What's the story there?
Well, actually, we're having a great time with NASCAR. I don't think we realized how big NASCAR was. Obviously, over 75 million fans with NASCAR across the country. But also, we are the exclusive partnership for Office Products. As a partner for NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And we sponsor the Roush Racing Team, the number 99 Ford, and that's obviously driven by Carl Edwards, who came in third place last week, as a matter of fact. But you'd be surprised how many small businesses and how many people really are engaged in this very fast-growing sport.
But who's the do you know the name of the winner of the contest that we announced?
No, I don't have it.
I don't either, but I will tell you
what. It's Dallas, Texas. They're at it. It's a lock and key company, and why the name escapes me is behind.
And they're going to be, it's okay because they're going to be on the show real soon. We're going to have them on the show and find out what they do and about their participation. George, I've got 30 seconds. What would you like to say? You've got my audience at your knee. What would you like to say to them before you go?
I really wanted to thank them for the business. I mean, you don't grow to 1,000 stores by yourself. You grow to 1,000 stores because you're offering a product and service that customers care about and that you continue to care about the customer. And I would just want to say thank you to everybody who buys Office Products, who works at Office Products or Office Depot, who buys Office Products from Office Depot, and who communicates with us in our philanthropic opportunity.
I like that, folks. You can never say thank you too much to customers. George Hill, thank you for being here. Good job today, and congratulations on 1,000 retail stores.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely.
We'll get you back, and we'll have some more fun. George Hill, ladies and gentlemen, with Office Depot. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.